Some of you are probably old enough to at least remember the tales of the time before refrigerators, when people used ice houses and ice boxes to preserve their food. The ice houses had thick walls. They had no windows and a tightly fitted door. In winter, when the streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice were cut and hauled to the ice houses and covered with sawdust. Oftentimes, the ice would last well into the summer. Well, one man, when he was working in the ice house, lost his valuable watch. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust, but didn't find it. His fellow workers also looked, but their efforts, too, proved futile. A small boy who had heard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour, and soon he emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked him how he found it, and he said, "I closed the door, and I lay down in the sawdust, and I kept very still, and soon I heard the watch ticking." Often, the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we're being still enough and quiet enough to hear. The question I want to look at this morning is, do we really listen to God? Today's lesson is a beautiful story in the Bible about someone who spent their lifetime listening. In his case, though, he was listening to God. Most of you, I think, probably remember the story of the boy Samuel from your Sunday school days. It really begins far before the story for today with a very touching scene of a holy woman named Hannah pleading with God to allow her to bear a son because she'd been unable to conceive. Hannah made a vow to God that if he would allow her to bear a son, that she would give the boy to the service of God all the days of his life. Well, some time passed and God answered Hannah's prayer. She conceived and bore a son, calling his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Hannah followed through on her promise to give Samuel to God. As soon as he was weaned, Samuel was placed under the care and the training of an old priest named Eli. Eli was gradually losing his vision, but he was faithful in his teaching of young Samuel. He also gave Samuel light duties around the tabernacle. Well, one night when Samuel was about 11 years old, he had a life-changing experience. He was lying down there in the house of the Lord trying to go to sleep when he heard a voice in the night. And so he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the voice called Samuel, and again Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel had been studying about God. The record indicates but he did not yet know God. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Now, that's interesting, don't you think? There are many people, including, I think, many adults in the church, who have studied about God, but do not know God. I wonder, maybe it's because we've not been listening for God's voice. Well, a third time this voice in the night called Samuel, and Samuel got up and he went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And then the scripture says that Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's a beautiful story about the call of one of Israel's greatest prophets. God spoke. Samuel listened. The 19th verse of this chapter says, "The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground." In other words, Samuel, who listened to God, had a lifelong relationship with God and a fruitful ministry. Today, we want to spend just a few minutes dealing with the sacred power of a listening heart. Wonderful things happen sometimes when we're willing to listen. The first thing we need to note is that listening is not the same as hearing, like Tanya and I talked about. Hearing refers to the sounds that enter your ears. It's a physical process that, provided you don't have hearing problems, happens automatically. But listening requires more than that. It requires focus and concentrated effort. There's a story about an 80-year-old grandfather who went to his daughter's house for Sunday dinner. And when the meal was over, as was his tradition, he announced that he was going to take a walk around the neighborhood. "I'll be back in 20 minutes," he said. But 2 hours passed before he finally returned. "Sorry I'm late," he said, but I stopped to an old friend and he wouldn't stop listening." I like that. Some people will not stop talking. We all know them. But blessed is the person who won't stop listening. That's a wonderful gift to give someone, to listen to them that intently. The greatest honor you can pay someone is to really listen to them. It's been said that an open ear is the only believable sign of an open heart. Listening's not the same as hearing. Listening requires intent and focus. One common problem is that instead of listening closely to what someone's saying, we often get distracted after a sentence or two and instead start to think about what we're going to say in reply. And this means we don't really listen to the rest of what the other person is saying. You can see how treacherous this can be. Listening is so important that many top employers provide listening skills training for their employees. And this is not surprising when you consider that it's good listening skills that can lead to better customer satisfaction, greater productivity with fewer mistakes, increased sharing of information. That in turn can lead to a more creative and innovative workplace. But I think we can all agree, hearing isn't the same as listening. Listening to someone is a way of saying, "You're important to me. You matter to me." Author and radio teacher Chuck Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He tells about getting nervous and tense about it. "I was snapping at my wife and our children. I was choking my food down at mealtimes and feeling irritated at all of those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up style, and it became unbearable. I distinctly remember, after supper one evening, the words of our youngest daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.' Suddenly realizing her frustration, Swindoll answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly.' I'll never forget her answer," he says. "She said, 'Then listen slowly.' What she wanted to know was if her daddy cared enough about her to really listen to her. That's what many people hunger for. When we really listen to them, really listen, we're saying, you matter to me. You're important to me. Of course, the most important listening we can do is to listen to God. Jesus spent a lot of time in prayer. Obviously, he believed listening to the voice of God was important. It's God's deepest wish to guide His children toward positive, fulfilling lives. But most of us don't really listen. If we do listen to God, we listen selective. And so we miss out on some of life's greatest joys. There's a man by the name of Doug Cole who told a story about a 30-year-old insurance executive that he met. Doug learned that this young man, Bob, was a new Christian. And he was intrigued by that. And he asked how things were going in this young man's faith life. "Have you found a church?" he asked. "Yes," Bob said. "Have you found a Bible study?" "Yeah, I have one of those too." Finally, Doug asked, "How about your relationship with God in prayer?" Well, Bob didn't have much going on there, and said he didn't know much about prayer. So Doug laid out a challenge for him to pray every day for the next 6 months. The prayers could be elaborate or simple. They could be simple or free-form, listening to or speaking to God. Whatever. But Bob has to pray at least briefly every day. "If at the end of 6 months God has not done something truly significant," Doug told him, "I will pay you $500. Well, Bob accepted the challenge. He didn't really know what to pray for, but Bob and his wife lived in D.C., and it was not far from one of the embassies. What with the city's international flavor, Bob looked down the street and decided to pray daily for Kenya. Well, not much really happened for 4 or 5 months. The prayer experiment was yielding little, but then something happened. And one night he was sitting next to a woman at a dinner party, and yes, she was from Kenya. She ran an orphanage there. Bob related that he felt as though ice water was suddenly running through his veins. He'd already been fantasizing about how to spend the $500. But he asked this woman for details about the orphanage and listened to her. He listened to her answers for a full intense hour. She told Bob that no one had ever shown such interest. Would he consider flying to Kenya to see it firsthand? Well, to make long story short, Bob ended up providing for the care of those Kenyan children and seeking to supply that orphanage. He made such a splash that the president of Kenya invited him to his palace. There, Bob advocated for prisoners of conscience in that country. And later, those prisoners were released. The U.S. Secretary of State called Bob and asked him how he did it. How the United States government had been unsuccessfully seeking their freedom for some time. It was no mystery to Bob how it came about. God had guided to pray for Kenya, and wonderful things were happening because of that. The point is, if you and I are truly listening to God, we will see wonderful things happen in our lives too. Hearing isn't the same as listening. When we listen to someone, we're saying, you're really important to me. You matter. And the most important thing we can do is to listen to God, to tell God that God is important to us. God's deepest wish is to guide us to a positive and a fulfilling life. And if that's not happening in our lives, it's because we're not listening. Remember what the Apostle Paul said. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Notice he didn't say faith comes from talking or doing. Faith comes from hearing, and that only happens when we really listen. The old prophet Eli told young Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. What an eloquent yet powerful prayer. Are you listening to the people around you? Especially those closest to you. Are you listening to God? A positive, fulfilling life awaits us. Just listen. Amen.